let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope y'all are having a good Monday, had a good weekend. Beat the Heat yesterday.
Nottingham Forest up 3-0 at Chelsea, getting out of relegation zone. What a little Monday.
We got a Chelsea fan texting in, upset with you this morning.
I literally hadn't mentioned it all day until right now. Why? Why are they upset with me?
You're not washing your ass.
We're out of relegation, man, with this win, buddy. My season, I can breathe now. Every week has been hold my breath. They finally are out of relegation zone with this win.
The forest can see through the trees.
You know what? You know how much it would have sucked to finally watch soccer, care about soccer, and pick a team that's relegated?
Why are they playing Monday morning at 7 a.m.?
So the late schedule of the Premier League is very interesting. So they're doing the Europa League, right? They're in the semis right now. They just got a win. Aston Villa.
The league is the Europa League?
It's a separate tournament that they're in. They earned the right to be in it last year.
This is the tournament or this is a game?
No, this is the Premier League.
Okay.
But the Europa League is a series of teams together. Okay. They played their way into it based on what they did last year.
Okay, so they have the Europas coming up?
They're in the semis, yes. Okay. They just beat Aston Villa on Thursday.
It's going on simultaneously to the regular season.
Yeah, it's a very odd thing. I'm still not used to it, but I've gotten used to it. Does that make sense?
Do they play everybody in every game, or do they like load manage games for the regular season games?
So they don't load manage them completely, but they do have to tweak minutes and rotations. Not so much at the beginning, more at this end. So this is the back end now. We're only a couple weeks left of the Premier League season.
It's almost over.
And so we've basically been in a dogfight while trying to win another tournament while simultaneously trying not to get relegated. But they're red hot right now. The Reds are rolling. And this win will basically guarantee we will not be relegated because Tottenham's been terrible. That's a great goal by Chelsea. Tottenham's been terrible. And so is West Ham.
Okay. All right. What do you get if you win the Europas?
You're the Europa champion.
Okay. Is that like the championship? That's not like the championship, though.
No, it's a different tournament.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just a different thing.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Following along. Brandon, you got this? Are you a soccer guy, Brandon?
I'm not. I'm getting there because I do all the Thorns games.
But you're getting thorny?
I've never gotten around to
it.
Even when I went to Europe, I went and visited a couple of those stadiums, and it's cool and all, but like...
Did you go to a game or just visit a stadium?
We didn't have time on the inventory.
Look at this. Watch this, dude. Just a straight, like, bam, falling backwards, kicking it forward into the goal. That's an amazing goal.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
And Chris Paul hits a three to make the lead 147 to 82.
You're not wrong.
Game 7 of the conference finals.
Yeah, I'm having a good Monday, though.
You are having a good Monday.
I will never explain soccer to you again.
No,
I don't really understand all of it either.
None of it makes any sense.
All right, I'm trying.
They're kicking the footy around. Yeah. That's all I know.
I've been following it, though, and you doubted me.
You made it a full season.
I've caught every match.
You have. You stopped talking about it on the show, so I stopped giving you a hard time. But I'll allow you the ability here. They're playing in the middle of the show. So congrats to your Forest. Sorry to our Chelsea fans out there, if any of them existed. The only Chelsea guy I've ever known is Drogba, but evidently he retired a long time ago. He used to be really good in FIFA. That's the only reason I know that.
Well, Roy Kent, of course.
Roy Kent. I mean, who could forget Roy Kent?
He played at Chelsea.
Dude, we didn't talk about the new Ted Lasso trailer that came out.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's a money grab. I don't care.
It's obviously a money grab.
Sure, it doesn't matter.
Everything now, they wrote that to be done, and it was obviously
I wanted more. I wanted more, and I want to be happy. There are so many negative things in our world.
I'm with you.
And I'm totally on for you.
One of the few things that brought a smile to my face and for a brief moment allowed me to forget that we're all going to die into eternal blackness was watching Ted Lasso. It put a smile on my face.
Or heaven. You know, it just depends on your beliefs. We don't know what happens. You can't prove anything.
First grieving gifts, and now we're talking about eternal blackness.
I know.
I'm just saying.
You're so bleak, dude.
I saw a lot of pushback. When they came out with the trailer, there's a lot of pushback of like, oh, God, this is going to suck. This is terrible. How do you spin it? Because he was moving back, and it just was like, can we just enjoy something?
Well, it's clearly been a couple of years because the kid is different and older.
Yes. Couldn't get the same actor back.
You know, I don't really care either.
It's going to make me laugh. It's going to make me smile. And I'll probably cry. And I'm okay admitting that.
It's written by Jason Sudeikis, Brendan Hunt, and Bill Lawrence. Hot take. Oh, and Brett Goldstein. It's going to be good.
Dude, Brett Goldstein writing himself into a romantic thriller with Jennifer Lopez on Netflix, too.
God bless that, man.
Like, you know what you're doing.
I love Brett Goldstein. I think he's pretty good in Shrinking.
I've never seen Shrinking.
Good show.
I'll just tell you this. If Bill Lawrence has his name on a show,
you're willing to do it.
Like, are you watching Rooster on HBO with Steve Carell?
I am not, no.
You know who's in that?
Who's in that one?
Co-starring with, like, a legit role in it? Phil Dunphy.
Phil Dunphy?
Or Dunster. What's his name?
Dunster?
Jamie Tart. What's that guy's real name? What? What's his name?
He just threw three different names at me.
The guy who plays Jamie Tart.
Jamie Tart? Oh, I don't know what his name
it's
is.
It's Phil something.
Dunster.
Dunster, I told you.
Phil Dumphy is the character from Modern Family.
The kids are rewatching it in my house every day. I'm sorry that I said Dumphy instead of Dunster.
I thought you were like,
blame my kids.
Playing the organ angle there, if you should watch it because he's an organ guy. And I'm like, oh, Phil Dumphy's got a job again? Is he
No, Jamie Tart is in it. He's
outside
good.
Outside of voice work for organ football, has Phil Dumphy done anything in the last 5 years?
He's in one of those commercials.
I know he is.
He's on like an airplane.
Yeah.
Anyways, you're skipping the point.
Jamie Tart.
If Bill Lawrence writes it, watch it. It's good. Him okay. and Michael Shore are probably my two favorite
TV writers. I agree
TV
with that
writers.
Point. That's a good point.
The Inside Man with Ted Danson. You watch that show?
No, I have not.
Dude, Ted Danson is just such a TV icon.
He's got all these TV time, man. I don't have any TV time. I'm watching that documentary about the mob right now.
That's okay. I just finished the B one on the Nat Geo channel. I'm about to watch the Attenborough Gorilla one on Netflix.
You can go vote on one of our poll questions of the day. Sprague producing his own honey. What should the name of the honey be? Sprague's Honey Hole, Money Honey, Brandon's Honey Pot, or Taste My Honey?
I think those are pretty good. We got some solid Sprague's Honey Shot. It's a pretty good one. Dude, the honey shot with a bee leaking down on the honeycomb would be pretty good as an image. Yeah. We also have Sprague in the Hive.
Sprague in the Hive's not bad.
We've got BJ Sticky Syrup. Because of my initials. BJ Sticky Syrup's a pretty good one. I got a...
What is it? It's honey.
I got to deal a lot of credit on that.
Oh, it's honey. Oh, okay.
Can I... So my mom is a reality... television like trash viewer, right? She watches all of these mob wives, Real Housewives of you know, plastic surgery, and their faces are frozen, their lips are injected. Like, I don't know, I'm not talking about anymore. And then the guys are getting arrested half the time because they're laundering money and crypto. She watches all this trash. Mm-hmm. The one that she watches that she just got me onto was the last season, the latest season of Alone, and. My mom cannot legitimately run a mile. She would collapse.
Like if you asked her to do it. With like a slow jog.
Yeah. I looked at her sitting on the couch next to me. She's eating ice cream. And I go, Mom, how long alone would you last? And that's where they dump everybody into.
Yeah, you're out in the middle of nowhere.
On your own. You got like 8 items. You got to make your own shelter. And she takes a bite of ice cream, legitimately turns and goes, 3 days.
No chance.
And I go, not a chance in hell would you last 3 days on alone, which then made me wonder, how many days would I last in the Arctic? That's the latest season. These dudes were using line on sticks in holes, catching fish 45 pounds. I can't do that with real fishing gear in warm water. How?
I'd make it 3 days. It'd be all right.
You think you could last 3 days?
Yeah.
Tell me we got Giannis.
We did not get Giannis, no. We do have a hire, though, that has taken place in the NBA.
Oh.
Friend of Tom Dundon has been hired, but not in Portland.
Nico.
No, not Nico. Masai Ujiri.
Ujiri? Yeah, he's also co-owner of the Toronto Tempo.
He has been hired by the Dallas Mavericks as the new team president and alternate governor.
Oh, I like that.
I like that, too.
Now, it didn't end well for Masai in Toronto.
No, it did not.
Many people note that Kawhi trade maybe upped the profile of what his tenure was, but...
I mean, they were a good team, and that move paid off and put him over the top. It could not have gone better for him. I also, I don't know. Outside of that, he had to go against LeBron in the East every year, and Toronto was a contender year in and year out, but they just were never quite... They just couldn't handle the LeBron problem. That was their biggest issue.
Well, you know, that's one name that is maybe on the radar. How much would you give up for Kawhi for a team that has no draft capital and is about to get hit hard by the NBA for their Kawhi stuff?
I wouldn't have any issue with that.
Would you take the risk on Kawhi?
I would, yeah. I mean, if you're not going to do my option of...
A blow up,
which certainly will not happen.
That's not what they're going to do.
No, then you're going to... name me the guy who's not a risk. Like, this is the part that I do just chuckle at from time to time. But every name that we bring up, there will be a pushback.
Yeah.
And I'll get to the honest stuff in a second because we have a pro question today upon that. Okay, so that one's not good enough? All right, Anthony Davis, too banged up. Giannis can't stay. So what do you want them to do then?
I don't know, man. It feels like there's always going to be a group of Blazer fans that largely think adding guy like Trey Murphy and running it back outside of him is just that's going to lead you to
the most success. 42 wins to 44 wins. Now our gray pants are blue.
Yeah.
Now we lost in six games in the first round instead of five games.
Yep.
Like, it just doesn't change the calculus very much. Nice hire for Dallas. Look, their ownership group's been a disaster.
I mean, that's a good PR win.
We knew
for
the
him.
Nico stuff was, like, it just aged. It was horrible. The Luka Doncic trade was terrible. Then Anthony Davis gets traded the next year. And so, yeah, you wouldn't got a guy who's got a decent track record in the NBA. Not the biggest of news for me, but still relatively decent size nonetheless.
That was somebody that, remember, I think it was Quick's piece.
Uh huh. He said that he was talking with Dundon.
Yeah, he had a conversation. Now, obviously, he wasn't going to. Masai was going to command a lot of money.
Yes, he was.
And the Adelsons tend to have a little bit more than old Tommy D and Tommy Two Nickels. But
also, are we going to have a new president or a GM, or are they both back next year?
I mean, at this point, isn't it pretty clear that it's Joe Cronin?
Right.
Well, no, the piece was just to highlight that they were willing. He was having conversations. He was asking around.
I didn't know if that was about a conversation about potentially hiring him or more about, like, let me just pick your brain about
the
NBA.
Well, we don't know what the conversation was. We just know that they talked.
Very true.
I think we're all concluding and thinking it was about hiring him, but very well could have just been, hey, man,
yeah.
What have you learned from the NBA? I'm new to this.
So, you also got ESPN making a run at Steve Kerr, so he might not even be in the coaching circles this offseason. They're trying to throw a big bag at him. Mm. Let's get back to our neighborhood restaurant group poll question of the day. We put this one out there earlier. So the rumors went viral again this weekend, at least locally, because Blazer fans are reading them and getting fired up about them. That, according to Jake Fisher, their number one on their big board this offseason will be Giannis Antetokounmpo. Now, they flirted with the idea around the deadline. They did not end up pulling the trigger, whether that was because of not getting guaranteed the extension from Giannis, or the asking price was too much, or a combination of the both. Somebody got cold feet. I don't know.
I'm also not convinced it was Giannis versus it could have been AD.
I do think that they were I think they at least were calling about it.
I think they were too, definitely interested in AD as well. The deal that Dundon saw, who was that? That's a good question. We don't know.
And the one that Cronin mentioned at exit interviews, we also don't know, because he talked about a younger asset in that regard, and none of these guys are younger assets.
Yep.
So I don't really know. That could have been anybody. But we brought up the question today of, does trading for Giannis make you believe the Blazers have a chance at knocking off OKC or San Antonio? Before I get to the results, I did want to read a couple of these comments. One of our listeners said, getting him alone, no, but once you snag the big fish, the rest of the dominoes would fall, make things easier. But that move alone, no way. You thought we were bad at shooting before, woof. Another one, has Giannis been healthy in the last 5 years? No. Okay, so the answer is no. And we pointed that out earlier of, like, that's a little misleading. He's been banged up at times, but this idea that he just hasn't been available and on the floor, it's just not true, and it's not rooted in any sort of facts.
So I tried to, reason with Ben a little bit here, and I believe Ben would reason. If he could have played 50 games last year, which he says he could have, they just shut him down.
Yeah, played 35 or 36, and they wouldn't let him play in the back half of the year.
If we take that out, the 5 years prior, he's averaging 66 games a year. You know how many games Denny played this year?
66 games.
So if you just give me 66 games,
that's pretty good for NBA standards. I think
I'm cool with that.
The Giannis one, memory holding a little bit, the fact that the injury was such an impactful one in the playoffs, that they went down, like, that first year him and Dame were together, remember, he went down.
Yeah.
Last year it was reversed. Dame went down and Giannis was the only one available. But 2 years ago it kind of derailed their season. They ended up losing in the first round of the playoffs. But, yeah, the idea that he hasn't been healthy in the regular season is just misleading. Another one, yeah, only if they add shooters and the right players. I mean, adding other pieces will be difficult because a lot of your capital will go there. To that point, Bob mentions it depends on what you have to give up. And two other people say, no, absolutely not. And I don't think it puts me into a mind frame of saying they will beat Oklahoma City and San Antonio.
No.
But one of the things that I've hit on, like, just in my life as a Blazer fan, and I know that Blazer fans, this is a vast spectrum, right, of belief or non-belief from wherever you fall on that spectrum, whatever. You can do what you want with your fandom.
Interesting group that way.
I can tell you in my adult life, the number of times that I could talk myself into them having a legitimate chance is probably twice. One of them I look back and laugh at, and it was the Dame year against Houston because he was young and that group had been together for a while with L.A. and Wes and Batum and Lopez. And they finally won the series, and then for me it kind of dissipated the way they lost to San Antonio in the second round of the playoffs.
They needed clear bench help,
and
which they tried to do.
They couldn't get it, and then a Aflalo happened, and then Wes tore his Achilles, and the rest is history. That team crumbled the next year. But there was a brief moment there of, like, man, this young player, Aldridge, is an all-star. Like, I could, like,
good nucleus of vet guys.
That gave me some hope,
and
then it disappeared. The only other time, and this is why we interviewed him, it was so much fun, was when we drafted Greg Oden number one overall. Like, we all went there in our head of, Roy is already a budding superstar. Aldridge is coming along. He might be a 20-point-per-game guy. If you package an elite defensive center and a guy who's throwing down every alley-oop around the hoop, like, that's your power trio? Like, that was the only other time in my life and the one legitimate time I'm like, I can see this being a championship-level team. And so just the idea of being able to sell that to yourself mentally is exciting as a fan, because it has not happened very often over the last 30 years.
Well, no, and you know they're going to charge more for tickets. So, like,
if Jody charged more after tanking seasons.
Right. No, I'm just saying, like, if you're going to charge more in an economy that every day seems like it's worse and worse, you want people to pay more money. Well, you got to give us a product. Is paying more money for the same team gonna make you feel great?
No,
I don't think it would.
Nor should it.
I don't know if Trey Murphy does that for you. I don't know if Corey Kispert does that for you. You can think what you think about Giannis, and I totally understand the logic, the injury concerns, the age, the contract. Very fair. But it would absolutely raise the profile of the team, the franchise, and your excitement level. Now, could we be heartbroken? Yeah. But we've had not a lot of heart to be broken.
It's my entire life,
the
man.
Last, you know.
That's all I know.
10 years.
Hurt me
we got
again.
A Western Conference run that nobody thought we would win that series, even though they were shorthanded. We got swept in that series, by the way. And we should have traded CJ. We never did. And so, like, it's just a lot of, like, great moments. There's no doubt. But I think, if to answer this question, I do think it gives you an idea or belief. Executing that is an entirely different outcome.
Yes.
Beating OKC, I'm not going to say they do that.
No.
Beating him in San Antonio, I'm not going to jump there. But I wouldn't go into the season completely dismissing the idea that, if healthy, we might be a
could
problem.
Be a three seed or
out.
A four seed, yeah. I mean, that could make some noise.
Minnesota
in the playoffs.
Might lose in 4 or 5 to San Antonio. What if Ant Edwards plays?
Yeah.
What if DeSomo right comes back? Like, now that team might be a problem. You know who's going to guard Ant Edwards? Steph Castle. You know what Steph Castle does? He fouls a lot. Well, what if Steph Castle's not out there? Well, you got De'Aaron Fox. Yeah, you still have Wimby. What if Gobert's great again against Wimby and is not the easiest guy to score on? Like, you just don't know. Like, my biggest takeaway from the NBA playoffs so far outside of the Eastern Conference, when I look at the West, if you go get a Giannis, you're throwing your hat in the ring. Now, do you have as big a hat as everybody else? You don't. But right now, we're the guy who runs down the Royal Rumble, and people kind of like him, and then they get thrown out within the first 2 minutes, and it's kind of like a comically short run in the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
We have Giannis running down that tunnel.
You're in the Rumble for 10 minutes at least.
You're at least going to be
you're
featured.
You're rumbling for a while.
Is the Undertaker still going to body slam you?
Yes.
Probably. He's probably going to choke slam you and then give you the tombstone pile driver. But you know what? I'd like to see my guy jump off the top rope with a shot. That's all I want.
I love this. I think perfectly sums up the fan base. 503-864-6326. That is the fan text line. Back-to-back text. No to Giannis. No to Anthony Davis. They aren't worth their value. Not worth gutting our future. Blazer fans thinking Giannis is the answer is silly. Mm. Another one. Any Blazer fan is nuts to not want Giannis. He would be one of the greatest players to ever play for the franchise. You trade for him all day. Every day. And I think that, again, highlights the wide spectrum of Blazer fans that we have out there.
Mm-hmm.
What I would ask, though, to the original texter, and I get it, because I brought this up with Desmond Bane last year. I feel this way about some players. If Giannis isn't worth gutting your future for, who is?
Well, how are you
and
playing?
This is, by the way, considering you would get, like, they're not doing the trade unless you get an extension out of him. If you could get him to agree to an extension, it's different. Oh. For a one-year rental, I totally get the fans who say I'm not doing it because that's dumb. In 1 year of Giannis, I don't think you're winning anything next year.
Yep.
But if Giannis with an extension is not worth rolling the dice and gutting your future, who's the player that's going to come available that is? And is your alternative just running it back and being a 7 seed, the Neil Olshey style for the next 3 years and pretending the Dame and CJ are going to win you a championship? I'm curious on that front. We had a lot of texts. We'll give you the updates, by the way, on the poll question. Read some of those. I do want to get into a couple of baseball notes as well, because a couple of teams had rough weekends, mine included, and a legend in the game passed away. So we got a lot still to get to in the final hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fan. The update's going to be a little weird, not going to lie. That one's going to take a while to get used to. Hello, everybody. Thanks for sounding a little bit different today. If you are wondering if it's you, no, it's not you. It's us. But thanks for being with us nonetheless. We love you. Slight tweak, but we're having fun with it here day one. It's the idea of making big trades in the NBA is hilarious and fascinating. And what an offseason we have in store. I mean, I remember coming back. I went to Hawaii a couple weeks ago, got back. You know, it's week or two left in the regular season. I can't remember if the blown lead against Denver was right before I got back or right after I got back. But
well,
I just,
it was before, because you remember you had cited it several times.
Yeah, and I just I thought to myself of like, I'm just really excited to get this season over with, because I'm excited about an offseason. And there's some hope that maybe something will actually happen, and it's not just going to be a run it back, which is what the Blazers have largely done over the last 15 years of like, yeah, we're a playoff team. Let's pat each other on the backs. We're a seventh seed. Bring it back. Internal development. And then guess what doesn't happen? Internal development. And guess what happens? The same exact thing the next year that did the year previous. And so I'm excited, man. There's no right or wrong answer here, because nobody knows what the future holds and what player you go out and get or risk taking will actually pay off for you, or what the asking price is going to be.
Yeah.
It's just, it's fun for me. And I think the takeaway from today and from the weekend, because the Blazers were all over, you know, Stein had stuff in the news. They were all over the map this weekend about rumor deals that could be going down. This is just kind of a breath of fresh air of like, this is the world we're living in right now. And I don't know how many or if any of them end up happening, but there's a realistic thought that something big could potentially happen this offseason, which I haven't had that feeling in a very long time.
Well, I mean, you think about the years previous. I mean, let's go back 3 years. What were we talking about? Is this guy going to be good? And then largely agreeing they were going to be a terrible team, right? And then they were terrible. The guy wasn't great or got injured. And it was like, all right, cool. And then you fast forward, you're like, hey, you know, we got Denny. Let's see if this trade was a mistake. Hey, Denny's off to an awful start. Hey, Denny, how about Denny? And then it was, you know, going in and you've made some tweaks here and there and you took a step. But I'm with you. Like, I don't even disagree with people that are super against it. I would kind of just more ask this question. I can see why you'd be against the idea of Giannis, and I can certainly understand why you don't want the Anthony Davis idea. I can also see the organization's standpoint. We're going to raise ticket prices. Other things around here are going to be different. So, well, how do we get you interested even more than you already are? Those names certainly would do it. If week one, night one,
Anthony Davis is in a starting lineup
with Damian Lillard coming back.
We are such liars. We are so excited as a fan base.
Right?
We can poo-poo it all we want right now for all the question marks. The first time he has a 30-point game, do you know what people are texting into our show?
Exactly. I'm with you. But I understand why people are texting in, no, thank you, never in hell. Like, I don't want that. I get it. Here's my only follow-up to both of those people, or Kawhi, if you're anti-Kawhi. If your best deal is Corey Kispert, Jairus Walker, Trey Murphy type, well, where does that take you next year? And then I want you to follow that up with, how are you building this up? I agree, actually, with something a listener once told me was, what we took for granted was the idea that every year at the minimum we were a playoff team. I agree with that. I didn't always like being the bottom tier playoff team that was going to get their teeth kicked in. But there is something to building a stable culture of, no, that organization is professional. They know what they're doing. Now, you do need to take the risks when they're presented to you. But for those people that don't want to take a huge risk, the caliber of Giannis, I'm merely asking, how are you building this out then?
Right. What's the plan?
You're just going to keep collecting a Trey Murphy every offseason? Because financially that doesn't work.
No. Also, how many first-round picks are you giving up to go get Trey Murphy?
Well, and
so, do you want to mortgage a future on Giannis? That's fine. You got to use 3 first-round picks to get Murphy?
You just want to wait till the 2029 draft so we can get a 19-year-old kid in here who might be good but not going to ultimately help you when it matters most? See Charlotte with Con Canipple? I'm not saying I don't want good young players. I'm more just asking, like, there's so many people against rolling that dice. Papa needs a new car here. But you can't ever tell me at your end, so you're just waiting 4 years and slowly be a 6-7 seed who gets eliminated largely most of the time? That's where you kind of lose me. If you can give me a real blueprint and the organization can give me an idea, cool. I'm not against it. It's more like a Giannis leap is doing what you and I are talking about. You might not have a chance to win against San Antonio, Oklahoma City, but you got a greater chance if he's on that court.
Yes,
it gives you a little with
hope.
Him not on it.
No doubt about it. Right now, the daily poll question brought to you by Neighborhood Restaurant Group. 57.4% of you say yes. It does make you believe the Blazers have a chance at knocking off Oklahoma City or San Antonio. You can go vote on that at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. It's going to be a fun offseason, man, and I can't wait to kick it off. We just got to get these stupid playoffs out of the way. Let's fast forward. All right, I'm ready for my lottery this weekend. Give me the draft. Let's go. Let's start making some moves. When's free agency opening up? We got a ways to go.
You excited for the second round?
Not really, no, to be honest with you.
You're fast forwarding in the West, aren't you?
I'm super stoked for Philly, New York. I can't wait to watch that game tonight. I think it'll be a lot of fun, unless Philly has the Game 7 hangover, which I could see, but I just Garden, Embiid,
Great
that's
atmosphere.
Gonna be awesome.
Yep.
Cleveland and Detroit does nothing for me. And OKC LA, I will admire LeBron and I will appreciate watching LeBron. By the way, he's the same age as the two head coaches in the series. They're all 41 years old.
So did you see, not to make this too much of a Laker segment,
sure.
I think they're going to lose in 4 or 5.
Yeah. And if Anthony Edwards comes back, then I'm interested. But if Anthony Edwards doesn't play in game one, I'm out.
So, you know, we don't make this a LeBron segment. I do think, given we didn't get to talk about it, game six. I mean, did anybody else with a brain watch that? He literally controlled the entire game. It was like from start to finish, no, you're not going to seven. We're getting out of here.
I'm done.
And I don't care if KD plays, not plays. That's kind of the Kevin Durant story anyway. Like, that dude's 41, and he's telling every kid out there.
He didn't have Luka Doncic, who's the best player on his own team. Not play.
And
not
Reeves is still clearly coming back. Like, he's still dealing with the comeback. He was unbelievable. That was like a prime LeBron game of just controlling every element of the game. Did you see J.J. Redick and what he said about Oklahoma City? Because they were asking, hey, how tough is it to defend this team? And he said, basically, our analytics staff has calculated that The advanced analytics are saying that this team is as good as the repeat Bulls teams in the 90s and the 2017-2018 Warriors with Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
It's like our advanced analytics are saying this is the 95-96 Bulls,
I think, in terms
and the 2017-2018 Warriors.
Yeah. In terms of a net rating or a plus or whatever,
it's,
like, it's like three times in the history of the league it's ever happened. It was the Bulls in the late 90s, the Warriors, and then this Oklahoma City.
The 72-win Bulls and like the unbeatable Kevin Durant Warriors.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think this is going to happen in the second round for the Lakers.
No.
I don't think 41-year-old LeBron's going to be able to do
Luka's
it.
Luka's not coming back.
Luka's not coming back.
Reeves is still, you know, whatever. Over. Like, yeah, they got their one playoff series
Phenomenal storyline to knock Houston out in the first round, and now there's all sorts of questions about them. But yes, I'm with you there. We did lose a legend in the sports world today. 87 years young.
Is this a legend in the whole sports world?
Oh, I don't
just
know.
Just the sport
That's
or just
question.
Mainly a region?
I will say this.
I knew his name. I'm not going to pretend.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
How many baseball radio voice names do you know?
Good question. So you got Buck. You got Niehaus.
No, I'm talking currently.
Oh, currently?
Like all time, sure, you can name a few of them over the years.
No, yeah, I think a time and place is different, though.
Okay.
Now is a lot more difficult.
Buck didn't do radio, though. I believe he did TV.
I think he was radio.
Did he do radio for the Cardinals
when
he was young? Because he took over at Fox when he was like 15 years old.
No. Not Joe.
Jack Buck.
Yeah, Jack
Buck. Okay.
Yeah. Vince Scully, right?
Okay.
So
we're up to four. So that's my point.
John Miller.
John Miller. He's still doing it. He's still kicking. The point, though, is that the list isn't very long.
This guy was a radio guy when radio guys were radio guys. Yeah.
Well, John Sterling passed away. He's a longtime radio voice of the Yankees. He was still randomly popping up every now and then. Like, they needed to put him out of pasture because it got bad. He had a call a couple years ago when Stanton hit what appeared to him to be a home run, and he said, what happened? And he didn't quite know.
Well, he retired, remember? And then he unretired.
Yes.
And remember, they gave him a television?
They did. Like a Vizio, 42-inch Vizio.
85-year-old man's like, here's a television.
How am I going to get this home? He's going to need somebody's help plugging it in. Anyways, we did want to take a moment. So this is his call. Kudos to you. You wanted to pull some.
I was going to pull the stand call.
Some lowlights. But I said, let's give the guy a little, let's give him a favor here.
He also had a Rick Riz moment.
He got hit by a foul ball. It's a primetime drop. That's a glorious one whenever they play it. Ow!
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 Ow! I got hit with the ball.
It's an all-timer, but here's John Sterling calling the 1996 World Series.
The stretch and pitch swung on and popped up again off third. Hayes has room. Hayes makes the catch. Yankees win. The Yankees win. The New York Yankees have won the 1996 World Series. They have surmounted every challenge. They have climbed every mountain. And the New York Yankees are world champions.
Obviously, his fans. The Yankees win.
You count to 10 seconds after that call from the out on third base, and I cried.
Yeah.
10 seconds after
little
that
spray
out,
in his bedroom.
Little spray, no, living room. Not loudly, quietly to myself, because nobody in my house likes sports except me, and I was just devastated because that Brave team should have repeated.
Should have repeated.
They blew that series. Lyritz and his cheating ass.
They have a kid lean over the wall and steal a home run in that one, too.
Also, that has become like a legendary-ish call. Did he mean for it to be the Yankees win, or is it, you know, is it an accident?
He forgot the first time they won again.
The Yankees win!
R.I.P. to a legend, John Sterling, 87 years old, passing away. A couple other baseball notes, and how about that hockey, baby? How about that hockey this weekend? We'll close it up there. Get you set for your night in sports next, 105.1 FM The Fam. Well, I know the game seven yesterday, or sevens, I should say, yesterday in the NBA sucked. Did we watch any of the hockey? Did we see the hockey? Did we see the highlights? Did we follow it? I knew my guy Brandon did.
Brandon always does.
He's a hockey guy.
Blue Line Brandon. Come on.
It's the real Blue Line.
I think we have a legitimate Blue Line Brandon here. Taking the crown.
The real?
Yeah, I mean, your Oilers got bounced in the first round. They're active. I mean, it is DEF CON. What's the highest DEF CON you can go to?
Isn't it three?
Is three the highest DEF CON? Whatever.
Or does it go to one?
I can't remember if one is the highest or five is the highest.
Five? Who has ever said DEF CON 5?
I feel like I've heard DEF CON 5.
You've heard DEF CON 5?
DEF CON 1. Is the higher number bigger or the lower? Like, which is
the
scarier DEF CON?
So there is five DEF CONs.
Okay, see.
On veteran.com.
Thank you very much. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
So DEF CON 1, war is imminent.
Okay, so it goes
DEF CON
5,
2,
4,
hostile
3, 2,
action.
1.
DEF CON 3, increased regional tension. DEF CON 4, regional tensions requiring greater vigilance. And DEF CON 5, normal readiness.
Okay, so DEF CON 1 right now in Edmonton. They're freaking out. McJesus got two more years left on his deal. He says we're not good enough. Everybody's hair is on fire up
DEF
there.
DEF CON 1, Iran and Edmonton.
Yeah, that's where we're at right now. I think it was DEF CON 1 in Montreal yesterday. So the Bell Center is where the Canadians play. Mm-hmm. That is their arena. They are the last hope for Canada to end their Canadian Stanley Cup drought.
Yeah.
They played the Tampa Bay Lightning in Game 7 of the first round of the playoffs.
Yep.
This series, by the way, has been fantastic.
It's been a good one.
Game 6 was incredible. Went to overtime. Tampa eked it out. Montreal had a chance to close it out on home ice. They lost in a heartbreaking fashion. We got to go back to Tampa. You know who the head coach of Tampa is?
Right.
Thank you. John Cooper.
Exactly.
As you were going to say.
Canadian.
John Cooper also coached what team?
The Canadians.
Technically, you're not wrong. He coached Team Canada in the gold medal game.
Well, that's what I was saying. The Canadians.
Nailed it.
Yeah. The Canadians are the Montreal
team. Do you remember
team.
The gold medal game between USA and Canada and how it transpired? How they outshot us 1-1,000,000
yep,
and somehow Team USA won the game?
Yep.
Well, guess what? It happened yesterday. The Canadians had zero shots on goal in the second period. I'm going to repeat that.
Zero.
For 20 minutes. They didn't register a shot on goal. They had 9 for the game. 9. And they won. Did you catch a niner in there? You caught a niner in there.
Yeah.
And this was on the CBC newsroom. They had a reporter go live. The Bell Center, where the Canadians played, completely sold out.
I mean, you would have thought the game was there. There was not an empty seat in the top section to the bottom, like, ice area.
So the CBC's doing a news hit, and they're like, hey, the game's going on. Let's send it to our bro out in Montreal who give us a news hit, and here's how it went.
So fans want the Montreal Canadiens to bring it home, but it is a tough matchup. They haven't been shooting a lot. Right now, the shots are 24 for Tampa Bay and 6 for Montreal. But Montreal just scored a goal. The Habs just scored a goal. Let's look at what it looks like up in Montreal. What a scene here.
This guy sounds like he's never broadcast before.
Has just scored a goal.
Oh, my goodness.
The Montreal Canadiens are up 2-1 right now.
I mean, the crowd eruption was hilarious.
Let's do that hockey.
The game was insane. I mean, the Canadians advancing is good. Eliminate the state of Florida. I'm so tired of Florida winning Stanley Cups. So the Panthers didn't make it. Now the Lightning are gone. So we don't have to worry about the state of Florida anymore. And Canada still has hope going into the second round of the playoffs.
I hate to be the guy that does this to you, but I need to. You need to separate how you're saying Montreal's team and the general population here.
Oh, am I? Okay.
It's very confusing for us hockey diehards. You're talking about the
Canadians.
Yeah.
Not the Canadians.
Not the Canadians. They're the Montreal Canadiens.
Dude, it was wild. Like, if you're John Cooper.
This guy over here, new to hockey. I mean, what do you
Brandon
want me to
and Brendan and Brandon.
Brendan and Brendan and Brendan and Brendan. If you're John Cooper, dude. So he lost the gold medal game to Team USA. That's a game 7 of the playoffs. I want to say the final number. Maybe you know this, but I think it was 29-9 were shots on goal.
Yes.
Does that sound right? 29
plus 20,
they outshot Montreal 29-9, and they lost the game. They outshot his two teams, Canada and then Tampa, outshot USA and Montreal 71-37 in the two combined games and lost both of them. It's absolute insanity. But good for Montreal. They're going on to the second round of the playoffs. That delivered last night. We get the second round of the NBA playoffs beginning tonight.
I got a juicy little one.
And it's not bad, dude. Like, starting out with Philly, New York, solid. And then game two, to me, incredibly incumbent on the fact, does Anthony Edwards play? The line, by the way, for the games tonight, the Knicks at home game one favored by 7.5. And the Spurs at home in game one favored by 11.5.
Yeah, we'll see if Ant Edwards play. If he plays, I don't know if I have an expectation of him doing anything. So I don't know if I think he's going to play.
I'm not going to touch that game. I am going to gamble on Philly tonight.
You know,
though,
Minnesota's interesting. I understand why you're taking Philly. Who would you rather have, Maxey or Brunson?
Maxey.
Why? Because he's younger?
Yeah.
That's it?
I don't really have a rhyme or reason for it. He doesn't seem as ball stopper-ish, if that makes sense.
More of a sharer of the ball.
Yeah, yeah, I also find him more aesthetically pleasing to watch.
I love when
he's finishing around the rim is mind-boggling.
He's just so quick.
It doesn't make sense of, like, how did he get that? He's got a little Kyrie in him in that regard of, like, how did that, what? Yeah. And he's, like, making underneath reverse stuff. Like, Brunson just seems like dribble, 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 fade away.
Imagine being the guy that told Joe Mazzulla to challenge and then instantly figured out
that was such a funny moment.
Just so funny.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no. And he tries to pretend as if he didn't. No, no, no. I was just calling a timeout.
The guy
like,
on
no,
the iPad
dude.
Instantly just like saying, you need to challenge that. And then looking at it from the other angle, like, oh my God, oh my God, I'm going to get fired. I'm going to get fired. Mazzulla clearly yelling at him on the bench. Like, you just wasted.
How about Jaylen Brown, who 2 years ago won an NBA championship and was finals MVP?
Yeah.
Coming out saying this was his favorite NBA season he's ever been a part of.
It's because he got to be the number one. He was the entire face of the organization.
He should be, because he's better than Tatum. He carried him all year.
He was pretty good in that game. I did love him coming out and saying Joel Embiid's a flopper. And he said the refs hate him. Like, they hate on him. Like, come on.
It's just bad timing of it. Like, I think that's a fun offseason conversation about the epidemic of flopping in the NBA is not fun for anybody to watch.
Sure.
And we need to get rid of it. But there's just only so many things you could do. Saying it the morning after game seven, when you were up 3-1 in the series, is such a bad look. Like, talk about sour grapes in that moment.
Yeah.
Like, just, dude, you had a 3-1 series lead. You guys couldn't make a shot to save your life in the end of Game 6 and Game 7. How many looks did they have? I mean, Pritchard had a wide-open three late in Game 7. Like, they created so many chances that nobody could buy a shot.
Pritchard saying Joel Embiid coming back doesn't change anything for them.
That did not age well.
That did not age well for our guy.
Still a great year for 8 Mile. Yeah. For Fast PP, it was a great year for him, but for those little moments in the quote, not great in the series.
Very quickly, we didn't get to it, but I didn't want anybody to text in and get mad if not getting to it. You want to talk about the Mariners this weekend? Or?
You guys are in Seattle tonight, I think, right? Or are they in Atlanta?
Oh, good question.
I think you guys are playing the M's. I don't know if it starts tonight, but I think you're playing the M's this week.
Well, I mean, you know. Did you see what Chris Sale did, by the way, over the weekend?
No, I did.
Seven
not.
Innings pitch, 11 Ks.
Baseball's dead to me.
Oh, really?
I'm a college baseball fan now.
Are you?
We got Mashers. We beat the Huskies this weekend, I know that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're at Seattle.
You're in Seattle?
I looked at the schedule, too, by the way, since it was May the 4th. I'm like, dude, dressing up as Chewbacca in a Braves outfit would have been stellar for my life.
Walking around Safeco tonight.
If I just had a Chewy mask with my Acuna jersey, even though he's on the IL, that would have been great.
I was playing golf with my brother-in-law yesterday. He was a diehard M's fan. He was tracking the game from his phone. You could hear a sense of disappointment and concern. Although the saving grace for them is that the A's are in first place.
Their division sucks in the AL like, large sucks.
You're going to be fine. You're going to be all right.
Except Cal Raleigh got hurt.
That's not good.
Can I watch this game or am I going to blacked out?
You were blacked out. You would not be able to watch
even with my Braves package?
Nope. Oh, Braves package?
I have the Braves package.
That's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah,
if you had at bat, you would not be able to watch it. But if it's just Braves, probably still no. But I don't know that for certain.
I'm going to be pissed off if I miss the series.
Tell me about it, dude.
We also, if we lose it, they're going to throw it right back in my face next couple days. Hey, you know what tomorrow is?
Get you one of these.
Taco Tuesday! Cinco de Mayo!
Tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo.
And Taco Tuesday!
On a Taco Tuesday. Dude, it hit.
We got a party.
We got a 4th of July on a Saturday this year, too.
Oh, life is good,
Let's
Andrew.
Let's go, baby. That'll do it for us, folks. Thanks so much for being a part of our Monday. If you missed the show, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com. At Turton Sprague at 1080, or 1051thefan on Twitter. We'll tweet it out here as soon as we are done. Hope you had a great weekend. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The firm, Harrison Meringue, is next. Listen to 1051 FM The Pimp.